Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
All right, I'm rolling on mine, and then we'll do a clap to sync.
All right, ready?
Woo!
1, 2, 3, clap.
No, oh, son of a
no,
beefsteak.
No, it's 1, 2, 3, clap, and then we clap.
I like 1, 2, 3, clap.
Okay.
Okay, let's go with Kate's.
Okay.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, clap. Oh, I fucked it up. But we clapped at the same time, so it's good.
One more time.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah! Yeah!
Nailed it.
Woo!
All right. Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we are going to have 5 rounds of the magazine. Round number 1. Should we weaponize ticks? Also, part of that, did we weaponize ticks? Congress wants research on how we could use these little fuckers and how we did use these fuckers in the 1960s and 1970s. I fell into a deep dive on this today. I cannot wait to tell you about it. Round number 2, the fact that the flying infantryman on hoverboard wasn't an MOS when I joined the Marines makes me feel cheated. There is one lucky French fucker who got to fly all over Bastille Day parade, and it was incredible. If you haven't seen that footage, you're not going to be able to see it while you listen to the show, but we'll describe it to you. Round number 3, the new commandant wants to implement rules on social media. Will that work? Not if I block him and mute all my MTOs, it won't. And round number 4, there's not a story I care less about than Area 51 bullshit, so I'm not even going to participate in the conversation. Kate and Cons can tell you about it if they want to. I'm going to leave it up to them once we get to round 4. And finally, Rough and Rowdy is coming up, so we're going to spend some time talking about some of these fighters because there has been some very specific themes that I'm noticing about a lot of the fighters and their military organizations. I'm excited to get into that as well. And all of it is going to be brought to you by our friends at Starbucks. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to be telling you about a bunch of initiatives they have. They have initiatives where they're hiring veterans, and spoiler alert, they've already hired 24,000. They're supporting active duty troops by their Adopt a Unit program, where they send coffee to all kinds of units everywhere in the world. Anywhere where American troops are, they are sending coffee there as well. They have military family stores that are popping up. Last year, whenever they were sponsored us, we had 41. They're up to about 60 now, which is pretty incredible. They have partners with veteran service organizations and different types of units like Team Rubicon. We've talked to you about the ones in Dallas, here in San Antonio, all over the world. Anywhere military veterans are doing big things, Starbucks is sponsoring it as well. They have unique benefits for their partners who are their employees, and we're going to be telling you lots more about that over the next 6 weeks. I'm excited about this partnership.
This is 182 numbered, but some of them don't have numbers, so we're closing in on 200, somewhere in between 180 and 190.
We should probably go back and count at some point.
Can we get a moon bounce for 200?
Oh, I'd love to get a moon bounce.
That would be
very nice.
Woohoo!
But for those of you who've listened for a long time, you know when we do a late night record, when things pop up, it usually gets a little off the rails. I'm feeling a little off the railsies. I talked to Cons earlier today on radio. My wife and kids are gone.
Wow.
I'm at home by myself.
Chance doesn't know what to do with himself.
I really honestly have no idea. Gus is just walking around. He's aimless. He keeps walking up to my wife's office and crying in the middle of the day for no reason. Just because he misses her. We're all just hanging out here. I ordered Taco Bell. A lot of Taco
Bell.
Hell
yeah.
By the way. A shit ton. I feel really...
Speaking of Taco Bell, how great must it be to be able to walk around your house and fart freely?
Oh, I do that all the time anyway.
I have to worry about getting yelled at.
McCartney really hates it. My almost 7-year-old. Listen to this. I haven't said this even on Podfathers. She's so neurotic right now, and so anti-germs, that the other day she came up and gave me a big hug, and her knee hit me in the belly, and it caused me to burp. She thought that I burped too close to her hair, so she went and washed her hair.
Wow.
She got in the tub, and I didn't tell anybody. I just hear the water running. I was like, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm just washing my hair. You burped right in my hair. I got to clean it. That's gross."
That is a new level of interesting.
I respect it. I like it a lot.
I respect the move, too. But yeah. We have a while. What was I talking about?
You ordered Taco Bell. What's your Taco Bell order?
Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm just hanging out at the house. I've been tweeting about video games. I might download a new video game tonight. We'll see what happens. So it's a pretty wild night in the house by myself. Might even go to sleep before like 10:30. Might get real wild. Let's actually get into a little bit what people came to listen to, which is our military topics. The first one, Kate, were you going to sing Brad Paisley?
Well, I was going to intro this topic and just get everybody in the mood.
Okay.
Because I'd like to see you out in the moonlight. I'd like to kiss you way back in the sticks. I'd like to walk you through a field of wildflowers. Come on, guys. And I'd like to check you for ticks. If there ever was a song that got you hot, bothered, and ready to go, pretty sure it's Brad Paisley's "I'd Like to Check You for Ticks."
We're doing it. Are we doing another horny episode? Is that
Jeez, sorry, sorry, guys. I'm just having Mercury's in retrograde. I'm just.
Do you know how many people came up to me and or texted me about that clip of you doing the reading for morale?
Tell them I'm doing tick check-ins if they want to line up. I'll see.
I mean, that's honestly what I think of whenever I was a little boy and I lived in Patuxent River, Maryland. We would go out to these blueberry patches, and whenever we would come back from the blueberry patches, because I don't know if you know this or not, ticks love blueberries. So they'd be hanging out in the blueberry patches, and you'd have to get everything checked up. Now, one of my wife's favorite songs is that Brad Paisley song, because she's like, it's country loving. It's a good way to see if somebody's naked the first time. I wrote about that in a blog when I first saw the topic came up today, because what is happening is in the 1960s and 1970s, I'll just go ahead and read it because I don't think I can explain it as well. The House voted early last week to require the Pentagon Inspector General to tell Congress whether the department experimented with weaponizing disease-carrying insects and whether they were released into the public realm, either accidentally or on purpose. The unusual proposal took form in an amendment that was adopted by a voice vote July 11th during a House debate on the fiscal 2020 defense authorization bill. The amendment by New Jersey Republican Christopher Smith said the inspector general shall conduct a review of whether the Department of Defense experimented with ticks and other insects regarding their biological weapon use between the years of 1950 and 1975. Now, let me set the scene, because this is a little conspiracy theory talk.
Okay, here's can I say what I think right now before you read on? Because I didn't read this.
Yeah.
Lyme disease is a construct of our federal government. Lyme
disease, yes!
Get the fuck out!
There's many people who think that Lyme disease never really had any medical mention until after 1970. So they think that what happened is that these got out, and that's the reason why they don't do a whole lot of, trying to figure out medically, because it was the government that created it.
All I can picture is a PFC walking across the lot with the Lyme disease tick jar.
Yep.
All he had to do was take it to the tick armory. He trips on the curb. Bam. Yep.
It's like in The Office.
Had a couple attached. It's kind of like reverse Spider-Man, but like bad shit. Like where he gets bit right on the testicle where it's extra juicy, and that's how Lyme disease started.
Man. Oh, my God. Any further. I just choose to believe this from here on out.
No, I mean, I think it pretty much confirms it because President Richard Nixon banned U.S. government research into biological weapons in 1969, but research into protecting U.S. military personnel from such agents may have continued because they needed to find a way if other organizations or other – if there was a breakout of the biological weapon that they had formed. So the only reason why they continued with the research was to find an antidote. Wow. They released it before there was an antidote. I'm not a big conspiracy guy, as we'll see, I think, in round four with the Area 51 shit.
I'm not either, but this is making too much sense.
Right. This just makes sense. Like, the government was like, it's essentially like Stranger Things, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the Lyme disease version of Stranger Things.
What if the only antidote they can come up with is a new tick, and you're like, well, how do I get the cure for Lyme disease? Like, well, you got to go fishing with your Uncle Ned. You got to go.
Well, lucky for us, we don't have to worry about Uncle Ned, because there is a cure for Lyme disease already in place.
And then Brad Paisley can have a new song.
Is there? I don't think there is cons.
Yeah, there is. My cousin had Lyme disease, and he's not dead.
No, but it doesn't kill, but like,
you can treat you, but you always have it.
You always have
treatable,
it.
Treatable.
It's
like
herpes,
pretty much.
And it like lies beneath the surface.
Oh my God. Chemtrails, crop circles. Lyme disease. It's all a conspiracy of the government of the United States.
Wow.
Holy
what
shit.
What if they did, though? I mean, that's legitimate or crazy. There's another research. I don't know if this ones are true, but I'm about to spread an old wives
say it. Who cares?
You know love bugs, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like the love bugs that look like they're fucking when they're flying. There's like two on each side and they're going around and they get on your car and they can eat away your paint.
Mm-hmm.
Those bad boys, according to old wives' tale, I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe Kate, we can send Kate on this one too. Those were invented by the University of Florida in order to eat mosquitoes in swamps. And they kind of bred out of control. And now they just take over large swaths of area.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting a little hand up. I'm getting a little scared the further we delve into this.
Now, think about this. Cicada, potato, patata.
Uh-oh. There's cicada. If you listen closely via my Yeti mic, you might be able to hear some cicadas outside right now, cicadas right now.
Well, I think the cicada, other seven cicada. Years out of the time their life cycle where they're buried, what if they're listening to you? What if they're so big because they have an extra little sound portal in them and they're telling the government what you're doing in your yard?
Yeah, but only once every like 8 years or so.
Oh, fuck, guys.
What's that? Who has the joke, a reverse petting zoo, but they pet you back? Two-way petting zoo?
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, my God. Guys, I'm upset.
Yeah.
I'm upset.
Never did I think I would be this upset about ticks. Although, three separate times this year, I've had ticks that I found on my body.
What have you been Googling and looking up at the library? Because the government's probably on to you, pal. That's probably not an accident.
Where have you been to get so many ticks, Cons?
Golf courses. Various golf courses throughout New Jersey. Yes, there's a huge tick population because we have so many deer, and ticks travel on deer.
Oh, man.
Good point. I have a lot of deer on my golf course as well. I love pulling ticks off of my dog, though. Like, if whenever I was a working dog handler, it was my favorite thing to do. If any of the other dog handlers had their dog had a tick on it, it was my favorite. I used to think how perfectly I could get it out. Like, the tick out with what?
You would have been a great monkey. Just
I would have been a very good monkey. It's true.
I love
one
you.
Of my.
Yeah.
I adopted a dog from a canine or from a kennel one time when I lived in Japan. And it was this little wiener dog, and I thought it was hilarious because he always acted like he had just drank nothing but Monster all day long. He was really hyper and twingy and shit like that. When I pulled apart his little toes to do like an inspection on him, he had probably 40 to 50 ticks just hanging out each one of them. Aww. Oh, man. I got to take all those out and then just pet him and tell him that I was so sorry that the government did this to him.
I can't believe the government would do that to a wiener dog. Holy shit. I know, it's
really
this
fucked up.
This is very X-Files of us to be discussing this topic in such a manner.
Good point. All right, let's move on to round number two.
Before we do, though, are there any other animals, insects, reptiles, crustaceans that you could think of to weaponize?
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot today, and I think the answer is no. I mean, I think ticks, if you really weaponize ticks, because nobody likes ticks, you can find those freak shows that wants to have, like, roaches and shit for pets. Like,
right.
The people who want those big cockroaches for pets. You're not going to find that with ticks.
No. I was also thinking maybe rats. Maybe that was my recency bias, having watched Stranger Things, but rats.
Because they can get anywhere.
They can get anywhere. But then also I went one step further in terms of things that can get anywhere, and I thought if there was some way you could weaponize ants.
Oh, man.
Well, also, on the rat note, there has been the weaponization of rats. Like, that's happened where they taught rats how to sniff, and they find landmines. Like, there's rats that are trained to find landmines in war-torn areas where they can send them across, and it's kind of fucked up. They just go, they find it, and it blows up.
Final note, I don't want to alarm anyone, but I was in the subway yesterday. Hand up, I saw a rat with an ant. With a tick on it.
Whoa.
The three of them were riding. There was a small like saddle on the rat.
So once, all right. So we are.
We've entered a new age. Yeah. You heard it here first on 0 Block 30.
That reminds me of the kindergarten song. There's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a hole in the bottom of the sea. And the final one is, there's a flea on the hair, on the wart, on the frog, on the nod, log, and the hole in the bottom of the
song.
Sea. Yes, I love that song. That song fucking goes, right?
Yes, it does.
All right, let's move on to round two. All right, Con, do you want to explain to us what Bastille Day is?
Sure. Bastille Day was the end of World War I.
What? Bastille Day, dude?
Wasn't it?
No, dude. Get out of here. Guys, you guys are what the French would call les incompetents on this Bastille Day.
How about Chaps?
It's a common name given in English-speaking countries to the National Day of France, which is celebrated July 14th every year. And if you want to know, it's when... fuck, hold on. But wait, no. Okay, so can we cut that part out?
No, we can't. If we're leaving in the part where Chaps just threw me
okay,
under the bus...
Okay, but fine, You said...
It's their national day. It's France's national day. That's what I said.
No, no, it is their national day, but it has nothing to do with World War II. It's the anniversary of...
No, I said World War I.
It's the... No, that's not it either. It's the anniversary of the storming of the Bastille on 14th July, 1789, a turning point of the French Revolution...
That's what I said,
...which
French
celebrated
Revolution.
The unity of the French people in 1790. Celebrations are still held throughout France, and I have to tell you... Philadelphia throws a huge one every year at this big old prison that we have, and they go to the top, because remember when Marie Antoinette was like, let them eat cake?
Yeah.
So they go to the top in these crazy outfits, and thousands of people are out in the street, and they say, let them eat cake, and then they fire tasty cakes over the wall. This is a true story.
You took me there, Kate.
I took you, yes. You saw the Bastille. And people hold the hold little fishing nets, and they catch the tasty cakes, the cake, in these nets. Now, I think last year was the last year that they did it, but it's huge. I actually got pretty hammered there last year for the final year, but it's a pretty fun thing. Let them eat cake and the tasty cakes come over the wall.
I wish Marie Antoinette would have gone with a little bit more of like a Holy Grail thing where like, I blow my nose at you. Your mother was a hamster and your father raked of elderberries.
Oh, yeah. She could have gone a little harder. She could have gone a little
Shout
harder.
Shout out longtime Stewie Monty Python.
True.
But what about Bastille Day? What's the deal with it? We're just chatting cake?
Yeah, I thought we were just chatting cake. No, no, no. There was a soldier in the French soldier who was on a hovercraft of sorts in the French military.
Firing tasty cakes out
firing
of the sky?
Firing tasty cakes into the sky, yes.
So they have this, set the scene for you a little bit. They have this big parade that's going on, and this motherfucker is strapped to essentially what looks like if Michael J. Fox was now, like with technology now, instead of his skateboard, he was actually flying. And he was high, too. There was parts where he was like well over 100 feet above the parade. And he had an M4 or some kind of weapon. Don't get on me, fucking gun nuts. Right. He had this M4 and he's rolling around throughout the streets and he has it. And I'm thinking, that is a badass job. We've talked so many times about how the Canadians, the British, shit, our own army, our own Marine Corps are having difficulty recruiting millennials. If you tell an entire platoon, 39 fuckers, with nothing but those type of hovercrafts, buddy, people are beating down your door to enlist. If that's your job, if you're a hovercraft infantryman,
yeah, I would agree. Woman, that's very attractive. But then on the flip side of that, all I can think about is how they would always be broken, no matter what. They would always be broken, and there would never be replacement parts available, so you would get to use it one time in training and then never again, it seems like.
Because think about how many little parts have to work perfectly for that to go.
Yes.
And we're still at war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Pretty sandy spots.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that. Imagine the sand gets into this, the suction that makes it actually go. You'd fall right out of the sky.
And they call this thing the Flyboard Air, a futuristic turbine engine-powered hoverboard. And the machine was like partially planned for the parade, and they say it's going to be used as an assault platform, basically. The hoverboard can reach speeds of up to 118 miles an hour and run for a total of only 10.
Holy shit.
That is dangerous.
Yes, but it can only run for a total of 10 minutes. This guy who was on
kinda
it.
Kind of like me.
There you go. Well, this guy is going to attempt to cross the English Channel on July 25th, which will require which will require fueling mid-flight. So July 25th.
Oh, that's going to be a
shit
show.
That is just a disaster waiting to happen.
Unreal. 118 miles an hour basically on a big skateboard with a backpack. This guy's going to try and fly across. But he was flying over people and all over. It's like those ones people use in the water, it kind of looks like, but without
Dude,
the hose
yes.
attached.
118 miles an hour. That is fucking flying.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. But that's going fast.
If he has to land on a boat to refuel in the middle of the English Channel, shouldn't count.
No.
He should go all the way
mid-air.
Across.
Mid-air. They're working on a way to refuel this guy mid-air. It's unreal. So stay tuned for that. By the way, the guy's name is Frankie Frankie Zapata.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie, I mean, this guy totally cleans up.
Frankie Hoverboard.
Frankie Zapata lands at the bar beer garden.
That's what I was, oh my God! If he, oh yeah,
yeah,
he's getting mad cooch or butthole, whatever
he's into, he's crushing it. So holy shit!
Yeah. Wow, what are you
that
doing,
is unbelievable.
Though? You're riding somewhere for 10 minutes. What are you doing with these things? How are you utilizing them in battle?
I would.
Okay, I think going up a mountain. If you don't have the ability to go in a track vehicle and you need somebody to scale a mountain and you need to look out over a mountaintop real quick, you got 120 miles an hour, 10 minutes, get the fuck up the mountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not wrong. That's a pretty solid way to do it. And especially if you could design them heavy enough to carry a man, maybe you're not going up the mountain, but you could load supplies, ammo, all sorts of stuff on this thing and mm-hmm. zip it up the mountain.
Essentially like a drone. Like you'd have a drone yeah. there. But also I think that it'd be used because they say that it works better over water as well. You could get it to board ships, like what we just saw with the Narco mm-hmm. submarine. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're going across there, you could fly it and have it just land right on top of there so you don't have to bring the ship and have that landing. Or if you needed to go inside, like whenever they saved Captain Sully or whoever that fucking Somali pirate shit was. And instead of getting a bunch of people, you surround them by the other craft. Everybody boards instantaneously, off boards with their little submarine or their hoverboard, and just shoots everybody. That's a badass movie, too.
Yeah.
That
would
be an unbelievable movie.
Wait,
which one? The one Captain Phillips or Captain the one about Captain Sully?
Captain Phillips, but with hovercrafts.
Absolutely. Got it. I'm like just it. Thinking of infantrymen with these hovercrafts, and eventually it's going to come, and I'm just thinking of the way infantry is in general, like mm-hmm. board infantry. I just picture some infantry lance corporal up on the hoverboard, and it's like, yo, dudes, watch this, and just... He's like, I just want to know who the first Marine who's going to take a dumper off that thing from way up high and like try and get it in an ammo can or something. Like, I just can't.
I
want
to know who puts one of those suction dildos on the end and tries to fly it in their buddy's mouth or something.
Yeah. But I can't wait till we get them that advanced that we can like start hoverboard goofing.
I mean, the hoverboard videos that we're going to get are going to be nothing yeah. short of amazing.
Scientists, please yeah. hurry. We yeah, need the,
seriously.
This is the
content we're running
out
we need. Of content here.
Oh.
Also, while I'm thinking about it, when we're thinking about the listeners and what they submit, I have to say, I am super proud of our listeners because our guy Kyle that's doing social media, he posted out on Instagram and on Twitter, what are things that you do to keep yourself occupied or things that interest you in order to have good mental health. I am so shocked with the amount of Marines and soldiers who follow ZBT that nobody said sucking dick. I am absolutely shocked.
I
would have thought that would have been like
it.
One of the first answers.
Are you disappointed?
A little. I mean, I understand that we're a little more mature. Well, I guess not. Like, we try to be a little bit more mature and take topics that are serious. But the fact that nobody said sucking dick is very, very shocking.
Missed opportunity, if you will.
I will say, Sunday it was like, hey, veterans, what are your hobbies that keep you mentally strong or whatever? And it was veterans, like, you have this stereotype in your head. People are like sewing, hanging out with my dogs, reading good books, fantasy role-playing games, Roman reenacting. And this one guy put himself in, showed a picture of himself in LARPing clothes. Somebody said, I could play guitar and write music. People said FIFA, lifting, turning wrenches, fixing cars, backpacking, music and cooking. There was so many good, cool answers out there. And my hope is that if you are low, Pornhub, of course, that's, I mean.
So there you go. That's basically what you're looking for.
That counts.
Ipso facto.
Kate, you said watercolors.
I do. I love watercoloring.
Didn't somebody submit a video of them like kayaking downstream?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Saw that one.
Floor hockey. Cool. One guy said floor hockey has been a lifesaver. But my hope is that people go through that thread. And if you're struggling, you're looking for something, find something in this list that interests you and reach out to that person on Twitter and say, mm-hmm. hey, how do I get into this? Like, such a cool, easy thing to do. But I loved all the answers that people
gave.
There
really was a lot of great responses.
Yeah.
Constance, did you put one?
I did not. No, I was a little, you know, this weekend was a bit of a fog for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You did a little golf. That's your thing, right?
Yeah, golf.
You like
yes.
golf.
And Yahtzee. Yes. He's a golf.
Golf
and Yahtzee.
Yes, chaps. Yeah. I play Yahtzee.
He's a big Yahtzee
probably
guy.
More than many.
Yeah.
You got your own cup.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's engraved in everything. It's amazing.
True.
Anybody want to catch this Yahtzee dice, come see me.
That oh, hot shit. Yahtzee D.
All right. The what, Kate?
that hot Yahtzee D. That's going to be my – that becomes his DJ name.
Okay.
DJ Yahtzee D.
All right.
All right.
That works.
Round three. Okay.
That's let it sit for a minute.
The wheels are falling off.
All right.
Whew. Anyway, hoverboards. How about them? Wow.
Round number three. Round number three, we're going to talk about a little bit about some discipline issues that's been going on. One of those issues that you have as a young devil pup, no matter what branch of service you're in, is shaving. If you want to shave, it's so smart to do it with Dollar Shave Club. When I talk about the Dollar Shave Club, I can't stress enough the quality of their products. I'm a big fan of their Blue 202, but I also love their minty, delicious toothpaste that they have. It has spearmint, and it makes my mouth feel tingly no matter where I'm at. So you might want to get that too. Dollar Shave Club has you covered from head to toe. They have everything that you need to shave, style your hair, brush your teeth, and yes, even wipe your what, Kate?
Asshole.
Yeah, your asshole. You're going to wipe your asshole.
Oh, with Dollar Shave.
No, I was looking for asshole, but if you want to say vagina, that's fine. Okay. As well, either will work. You can wipe whatever you want, even your armpits. That's the beauty of Dollar Shave Club. And that's the beauty of Dollar Shave Club. It's your wipes. You can wipe whatever you want to. And right now you can try this. You can put the quality of Dollar Shave Club products to the test. The Ultimate Shave Starter Kit's basically everything you need for amazing shower or shave. They start at just $5. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/chaps. That's dollarshaveclub.com/chaps. Kate, what do we got for round three?
Well, I'll tell you.
Vaginas!
Holes, I'm wiping them. Round number three, guys. As we know, the Marine Corps got a new commandant, and though he's not one to micromanage, he does expect his leaders to be squared away and put their Marines on the right path when they're misbehaving. This is quite the rare commandant, you might say, or well done. It's General David Berger. He's not the first commandant to encounter discipline problems in the ranks, no shit. But he's just one of the few who have led the Marine Corps in the age of social media, where some Marines have made career-ending decisions online that have included racist photos, video showing Marines defiling enemy remains, posts that degrade women, negative comments about the commander-in-chief, etc., etc. What's interesting to me is over the last couple of years, ungoverned, it's not structured, it's more like it grew on its own. It's this self-policing on social media, said Berger, who became the commandant just on Thursday, he said to military.com in an exclusive interview. He said that's pretty fascinating to him. It's not an easy problem to deal with, as General Jim Amos and Robert Neller found during their tenures as commandant. Neller, who had to deal with the fallout from a massive online scandal, shout out Marines United, even said during Thursday's passage of a command ceremony, during which he passed the torch to Berger, that there were days he woke up where he didn't want to be commandant anymore. Guys, the trolls.
I want to pause there for a minute.
Yep.
I think that that's a great level of honesty from the commandant, because you think of this historic position of being the commandant of the Marine Corps, or being the head of any branch. There has got to be days that you wake up and you're just like, fuck this, man.
Yep.
Like when somebody goes viral for something stupid, you're responsible for the entire Marine Corps, entire Army, Air Force, Navy. You just got to be like, dude, I've done this for 40 years. I'll let somebody else take this fucking pack. Right. I am done.
There's problems. There are problems every day.
Listen to this quote that from General Neller to the new commandant, Berger. Dave, there are days when you wake up that you just don't want to be the commandant. But you are the commandant. You are our commandant. So get out there and do the job and everyone else will follow.
I actually think that's exact cadence in which he said it.
That's exactly how I read it. He's like, well, look at you.
Well, Dave, that threw me for a loop, too. The first time I was ever in like higher level meetings, even battalion level or base level meetings, whenever officers, when they're together, start calling themselves by their first name, that shit threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
A loop.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
It was weird to hear the first time.
It is weird. It's like when you see your like officer out in the wild, in his regular clothes, you're like, whoa. But this is kind of an interesting thing. When asked if non-commissioned officers and other leaders need to monitor their Marines' behavior to catch digital wrongdoing, Berger stressed that if they do, it should be about leadership, not micromanagement. And I really, really could not agree with that more. I think it's not about catching your guys online and
ripping them for it. It's making sure they don't do it in the first place, because you've set such a strong example that they want to drink your Kool-Aid and they don't want to be a douche because they admire you and look up to you and want to be like you. So they don't want to be that troll or that douchebag online who's doing stupid shit that shames the Marine Corps or any other branch. That to me is it. If you're a badass and you're great at your job and you're a good leader, and they're going to want to be like you. That's it. That's it. And if they see that you don't think that shit's cool, they're not going to think it's cool either.
Well, you shouldn't have to put rules in place to say, hey, don't post racist stuff. Don't post sexist stuff. You hit the nail on the head. It is their charge as a leader. And they have, when you're in the military, you're around your leadership for a very good portion of the day. You have a lot of time that you can affect these young men and women. So why not charge to your leadership be that, hey, focus on ensuring that these are good people with good character. That's something you can really monitor and do in a positive way. Trying to monitor everyone's social media is next to impossible.
I will say I do have one other idea. Remember when you were a kid and if you read 20 books over the summer, you got to go to Pizza Hut?
Yes.
If you go a month without being a sexist or racist on Twitter or something, you get a Pizza Hut coupon.
Okay.
It's a good deal.
Deep dish, the red, those big red plastic glasses full of soda.
What was that deal called? I used to lie about that.
Book it?
Say how many.
Oh my God. I earned every book it I got. Shame on you.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Stolen valor.
Speaking of Pizza Hut. Speaking of Pizza Hut, I feel like I might have said this on here before at some point, but Pizza Hut had the best commercial ever that was going into the VHS of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. And it was about a little league team. And the game, and there was a song and a jingle that went along with it. Do you guys know the commercial I'm talking about?
No.
No, but I'm surprised you said it was the best commercial ever and it didn't have anything to do with a Marina Dress Blues slaying a lava dragon.
I know. That's the best commercial ever, my friend.
No, okay.
Army of One was a good one, too. But
I love that.
You want to sing the jingle. Go ahead and sing the jingle.
Do it. Go ahead.
I know.
I got to sing a song. You get to sing a song.
Off in the distance, the game carries on. There strikes on the batter. Some runners are on. When suddenly everyone's looking at me, they point to the sky and I don't remember the words anymore.
Wow.
And I think, what could it be? I look up. Damn it, this was my time to shine.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Not a banner day for West Point. Doesn't matter the skill day is. I can't remember the book and theme song.
I'm 0 for 2 today.
Rare. Oh my God. What are they teaching up there on the mountain?
I don't know, but guess what? That's terrible because I watched that movie no less than 86 times, so I should have remembered.
Anyway, I do think one last note on the burger thing. I do think that having that should be his statement for his leadership motto. It should be about leadership, not micromanagement. I think of all the things that junior troops get frustrated with across the board in senior level leadership is when they feel like they're being micromanaged, when they haven't earned the ability to do things because they want to do it. Like there's a line in evaluations where you say, does require with little or minimal instruction.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what every single Marine and every single troop wants to have is little to minimal instruction. And doing that online is just another form of that. But it's a trust earned, not given thing.
Right.
Like, I think that you have to earn that. But I also think it's very weird for NCOs to be like, let me follow you on Twitter. What's your Instagram and shit like that. Like, imagine going into a new unit. Kate, you're checking into a new unit. You're a PFC. You're a 22-year-old PFC. You have some staff sergeant or sergeant is like, hey, whenever you check into your new unit, put down your Twitter handle and Instagram handle. Your first response would be like, fuck that. I'm not going to give them my real one, the one I actually use. Is staff sergeant going to sit here and try to peep on my fucking bikini pics?
No, but then also on the flip side of that, I wouldn't want my soldiers. I wouldn't want to know their social media because guess what? As soon as I see something, then I'm responsible for that. And then I have to address it.
I can't just
brush it under the rug.
Right. And I think that's the double-edged sword of what he's talking about here is like be involved. But you also can't force yourself to be involved in every single aspect of your life because these people have to live and have to have an outlet. I mean, you have to have an outlet of where you can express your own ideas and opinions.
Right.
You can't do that while you're in uniform, but you sure as shit can do it on your Twitter account or whatever. So this is going to be tough, like, to have a modern force with social media where you can say whatever you want to, but also you can't. That's the hard part about being in the military.
It is.
Which I would have been very bad at on Twitter.
I think one more note about the new commandant, the General Brigger. Can you ask me?
Of course.
What's the new...
How I like him.
How do you like him?
I like mine with lettuce and tomato, Hans 57, a french fried potato. Okay, round four.
All right, everybody has reached their singing quotas for the evening. Let's move on to round number four.
Guys, if you are looking for a boost of nicotine that you can enjoy anywhere, check out the powerful, long-lasting flavors of Lucy Gum available at lucy.co. I was just chewing some, had some in my cheek on the way down from the Barstool Classic Golf Tournament. 3-hour drive. I was driving in the car with other people. Didn't want to be smoking. Didn't want to be rude. It was a rental. Put the Lucy in my mouth, chew a couple times, put it in the cheek, because it serves up that nicotine buzz you know and love without the thick clouds of smoke or fruity vapor. No more tobacco-stained teeth, or if you're my snaggletooth, or smoky clothes. No more shamefully pulling on the vape at the office or classy function. Lucy was designed by a team of scientists from Harvard, Stanford, and Caltech who used to smoke themselves, so they get it. They reimagine what nicotine could be. 4 milligrams of clean nicotine, food-grade ingredients, and a buzz that you can enjoy anywhere, even at the office or in your rental car full of stinky golfer dudes. Plus, there's 3 delicious flavors, cinnamon, pomegranate, and citrus mint. But make sure you use it the right way. Again, like I said, you just chew it a few times and then put it against your gum inside your cheek. And believe me, I chewed it like regular gum the first time. The nicotine slaps. Use a discount code Barstool. Get 10% off your first purchase. That's 10% off your first purchase with the promo code Barstool at lucy.co.
All right, so we can get into, for round number four, we're going to get into a little bit of the Area 51. First off, I want to set the scene and get everyone on the record. Let's start with Kate. How do you feel about aliens?
I believe that they're out there, for sure. I don't think it's possible for them to not be out there because we can't even comprehend how enormous our universe is.
Cons?
I think that's the point, is that there's so much out there that we've yet to explore. Just like there's things in the ocean that we still haven't discovered. So there has to be something else out there.
Now let's go back to the original format. Kate, do you care about aliens?
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah, I do.
Cons.
No. Cons. No, not even.
I don't either.
Not even.
I could not give a fuck less about aliens.
Are you serious?
If you, honest to God, if you told me, hey, chaps, there is an alien in the produce section of at your HEB, which is 1.2 miles from my house, I'm not even sure if I would go.
No.
I care that little about aliens.
Listen, and if they do come, we got Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum, so we're all set. We're protected. I'm not worried about it.
When I found out they found like traces of water on Mars, my heart was, and there's like little microbes or something. I'm like, holy fuck.
That's not aliens so much as that is space exploration.
Yeah, but it just, all that shit's so exciting to me, the thought that there could be other intelligent forms of life out there.
Yeah, but what if there is, Kate? What if there is this big alien and they are so much smarter than us where they're just like, look at these fucking boots. Like, you know, like if they're flying all different universes and shit like that, they're going to come up and they'll be like, look at this fucking boot. They think their podcast is so cool. They think that we're cool because we have a show on Sirius XM. They have a show on something that we don't even know about that goes into like multiple galaxies. Ours just goes to America and Canada.
And what if they're really mean? What if they're really mean and they want to hurt you?
Okay, negative Nancy.
Good point, Cons.
What if they're awesome?
Yeah.
What if it's just these giant mouths that come down? Wow, I'm all horned up this week. And they're just like, all we want to do is give blowjobs. And you're like, what? Okay.
But what if they all look like cobras? Imagine how scary that is.
Are we talking about giving blowjobs?
I do not want a blowjob from a cobra.
No.
That's a promise to the listener.
Oh, more like a nobra.
So anyways, there's been, how many people are supposed to go to this thing? They're supposed to go to 450,000. Kate, explain it to us, please.
Yes, basically, it was all fun and games on Facebook originally, and this is from Deadline. But now for the Air Force, it has become a giant headache because the Air Force delivered a message responding to a Facebook group's effort that has 450,000 people signed up now to storm the Air Force Base Area 51 in Nevada, which they believe holds information about extraterrestrial activities on our planet, including actual alien remains and aircraft. That belief spawned a Facebook group suggesting that a wave of humanity could overwhelm the Air Force's defenses at the base and discover the truth. So again, more than 450,000 people have joined this Facebook event page calling to storm Area 51 on September 20th. Again, it seemed to be starting as sort of a joke, but there's so many people now that the Air Force is genuinely concerned. I swear to you, I would not be surprised if the week leading up to September 20th, they start shutting down the roads and shit like far out from Area 51. Like, I believe
now,
it.
Cons, as a officer, as a captain who has once been a company commander, mm-hmm. I think, right? You've held that billet, right?
No, never a company commander.
All right, so let's put you in the place of a company commander. Mm-hmm. You are an Air Force company commander. Mm-hmm. There's an A1C, shout out to our Air Force defenders out there. There's an A1C who's on the gate of Area 51. He takes his little 9mm, his M9 service weapon, puts two to the chest and one to the head of somebody who's just walking around the outside.
Oh, no.
Do you blame him based on these reports if he's coming up? I think you got to let him go.
No!
I think you...
I was just protecting our base, sir! This is difficult,
it's
man.
It's a little overzealous, but...
Yeah.
What, Kate?
I don't know. They did issue a warning. They said Area 51 is an open training range for the U.S. Air Force, and we would discourage anyone from trying to come into an area where we trained American armed forces. The U.S. Air Force always stands ready to protect America and its assets. So they're
and
not
I mean,
around.
Hey,
that's
listen,
a shot
listen.
Across the alien bow.
Here, I will say this. You are, when you take that oath of office, as an officer, you're sworn to defend the Constitution and against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So if these people are seen as
what,
enemies
but
of...
But does it say anything about intergalactic in that?
No, it doesn't.
It does not. It does not. So we'll
and
have
maybe,
to deal with those aliens
oh,
later.
I wonder... Oh, my God. They're going to have to change the... What is that called? The oath of commission?
Yeah, your commissioning oath. Yeah.
Oath of office. They're going to have to change that whenever the Space Force, because it's not just going to be foreign and domestic.
True.
I guess you could really interpret... Foreign as intergalactic. As
yes,
well.
I would say that would work. But honestly,
just how far foreign all the way.
You know what takes them out in the end?
What?
Lyme disease.
Yes,
they get ticks. And finally,
oh
the
God.
Asshole that dropped the jar in 1950 is an old man now. He's like, told you it would be okay.
Think about how scary yeah. that would be, Kate. If I had instead of like one of those World War II. Flamethrower guns, I just had a tank full of ticks.
Ooh.
I just shot it.
That would be scary as shit. Definitely.
Yeah.
No, you know what you need to do if you're at this Air Force base? You just get some jets flying really low, consistently, making multiple runs. I think that would scare people into thinking, maybe this wasn't
Dude,
a good
all
idea.
You need, you already have it in your arsenal. Just make an A-10 do blanks.
Yeah.
Just fire blanks.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a great
you
idea.
You hear the brrr, and you're done.
Yep.
You're like, never mind. I will go back to Wisconsin. I'm not going to hang out here.
I think that's a solution because yeah we
do
can't just
not
start
want to fuck with this.
We just can't start killing people.
Well, let's hope my little theory about blowjob aliens on Area 51 doesn't spread because that Facebook group's gonna grow.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's gonna forget alien blowjobs for a long time.
New rumor: they forget the aliens. They're like, holy shit, blowjobs at Area 51.
The same group would be rushing it.
Yeah,
they haven't had one in years.
Yeah. Yes.
Or ever.
Yes.
Let's move into save rounds. I want to start today. I love going through old like military memes and shit like that. I came across one that just made me laugh. There's an attractive woman who says in her text message to a fellow who I assume is in the military, she says, I really like that meme you posted. Actually, why don't we have Kate and Cons do a live reenactment of this?
What?
No? Kate, you be the guy.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
All right, Conso, you need to do a high-pitched voice. Kate, you need to have a husky voice.
Okay. I really like that meme you posted.
Oh, thanks.
What you doing later?
Nothing much, just picking up cigarette butts in a parking lot.
Oh, fuck me, please.
I just think that is the perfect representation of what, like, for people who think the military does sexy shit all the time. You see a young troop come home from leave, and if they tell all these stories at a bar. They're not really doing anything sexy. They're picking up fucking cigarette butts in a parking lot.
True.
Like, that's young military life.
Yep.
True story. I like it. And yes. I have a good dude voice. My save rounds, two things real quick. I just got back. Shout out to the whole Zero Buck 30 crew for waiting on me. I got here late. I was at the Barstool Classic Golf Tournament up at Lake of Isles in Connecticut. But 4Play podcast here, the golf podcast, partnered with Zero Blog 30 so that we could benefit the Headstrong Project. And there was a drill instructor who came in, and there was a putting contest.
That was
and
a great idea.
He was screaming at all the people trying to putt and everything, and it was really fun. Six guys still made it, about 30-foot putt. Six guys still made it with the drill instructor screaming at him, so pretty good golfers. But that was really cool. They raised well over, I think, almost $2,000 for the Headstrong Project, so a very cool thing.
Nice.
And again, that's free, stigma-free mental health care for post-9/11 veterans. Check them out, get headstrong.org. The second thing, we are down to the wire, the nitty-gritty, the big show. Rough and Rowdy is this week. Rough and Rowdy 9, ZBT has a huge part in that. We're pretty much hosting the damn thing down at Fort Bragg, Fayetteville, North Carolina, July 19th. Buy rnr.com. It's going to be awesome. Also, if you're in the Fort Bragg, Fayetteville area, we will be on radio live for 3 hours on Thursday from Max Speed Shop. And what time's that?
4 to 7.
4 to 7. So
4 to 7.
Come say hello. Check it out.
It'll be us, Large, Rome, Caleb, a lot of folks. Robbie Fox will be down there. It'll be a big Barstool crew, not just us. We'll have a bunch of people. All the fighters are going to come through for the live weigh-ins. We're going to be roasting them, having them sit down for interviews, hosting essentially an episode of ZBT too. So make sure that you come out. Go to buyrnr.com for that. Or you can also sign up if you don't want to just buy the fight and you think that you're going to like a lot of fights and a lot of the other content that Barstool has. You can become a hardcore gold member, and then the Rough and Rowdy fights come for free with that. So you can go to barstoolgold.com to check that out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Con, anything?
Yeah, so I came across an article today. This gentleman, a veteran, got married last week, and I know this gentleman. I've met him, but every time I read his list of accomplishments, I'm blown away. It's always unbelievable when you read this guy's resume. This gentleman named Pete Dawkins. Okay, ready? He was the first captain at West Point, which is the highest ranking cadet.
Mm-hmm.
He won the Heisman Trophy. He graduated and became a Rhodes Scholar, where he got a PhD.
Fancy.
30 so or so years in the Army, 3-star general, decorated as all get out, finished that up, became a CEO and an executive at multiple Fortune 500 companies. It's like,
what,
come on.
What caused him to not get the 4-star?
Why yeah. Did he not? Wow. Huh.
I think he wanted to leave kidding. Some for the rest of us.
Yeah, no, he seems like a very, very impressive guy.
No, but I read in the New York Times today that he just got married last week. So just anytime I see his name, I tend to Google him and I read the stuff that I always know about him, but just unbelievable to me that
one
person could do that many things. Because any of those things by themselves
is impressive.
Is unbelievable. So now sure. You do all of them together and it's like, wow.
Honest to God, I thought you were going to roast Kate with another friend scenario.
I was like, wait a minute. Was Ross a Rhodes Scholar? No. I'm on edge.
He might have been. Top paleontologist in the game.
Oh,
yes.
My yes. God.
Yeah. I'm just going to drop those in from time to time, I think.
Sound the retreat.